You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Thank you, brother. Hey, as a matter of fact, just to give honor, let's give every ministry in this house a clap, because if it weren't for them... Does everybody feel good tonight? Everybody feel amazing tonight? Who's having fun at camp? Yeah? How many of you guys have fallen in love with someone this week at camp? One person, that means someone else is not in love with that one person. You're in trouble. You might want to tone it down just a little bit so there's no disappointment. Hey, if we can just kind of keep this atmosphere of worship, I don't really have a word per se. I definitely don't know the Lion King well enough to make up any cool... Now, hold on. I've seen the movie like 5 times. Okay? So chillax. only 5. Yeah, I know. and I'm closing. If you could bow your head, please. No. Let's all stand up for 1 second. I think the atmosphere of Jesus is all I'm really after tonight. So what we do or don't talk about in between that process is really irrelevant. It's all about his encounter. Amen. So let's just open our arms for a moment. Father, we just invite you, God. God, just beyond the realm of concept into the right now, present moment, Father. God, we just give you this service. We give you this meeting. God, we give you every word and every song in this place tonight, God. And God, I ask that just by your spirit you would breathe on every life and individual in this room, Father. God, we believe that we were made for such a moment as this, Father, for a generation to come to the awakening of the fullness of their sonship and who you are, God. God, we just wait on you tonight, Father. God, I don't need a bunch of words. God, we don't need more revelation tonight, Father. We just need you yourself, God. You're everything to us, Jesus. Everything, Father. Just breathe, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, everybody say amen. Amen. God is good, yeah? All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter number 12, if you don't mind. We're going to start in verse 1. I want to give us just share a few thoughts and maybe kind of make this up as we go a little bit. Everything that God does, when we look at the person of Jesus, I so appreciated today sitting in on Bible study with Jeremy, just talking about the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes when we gain perspective, not that we can figure all that God is out and not that we can understand all things, I'm 100% convinced, especially as a young generation, we need the encounter more than we need the explanation. We need the presence of God more than we need the theology to back it up sometimes. And that doesn't mean that theology is not good and this, that, and the other, but hopefully they're paired together. We need encounter more than we need concept all the time. In fact, it's a whole lot better to have an encounter with God to understand half the things that are even in the scripture. God wants to touch lives. He doesn't want you to figure him out. God wants to touch your life. He wants to wreck a world. He wants to wreck every McDonald's in your town, every Walmart in your town, by the presence of himself on you. You are the residue of the Father on planet Earth. Yeah? So, when we think about that, the Bible says, let's read this verse really quick, Romans 12, when everybody knows this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Key verse. And do not be conformed to this world. Everybody say this world. But be transformed. Everybody say transformed. By the renewing of your mind. The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, implying that there's more than one world. I know we understand this. There's heaven, then there's what? Earth. So there's heaven and the earth. There's more than one world. Jesus comes in such an amazing way. This is God in the flesh. This is God who has been in heaven already, decided to come into our realm to make himself visible. But he chose to come in the posture of family. Jesus came to come as a son who came. His sole purpose was to reveal the nature of a father that has been forgotten. That's fascinating to me. Because most of the time, see, I love the fact that more than exposing a God that is lofty and has rules, Jesus exposed the heart of a father. Because he wanted you to know him as father more than you... I make a statement. This is, I'm not saying one or the other, but he wants you to know him as father more than you know him as God. Is that safe? That's just who he is. He doesn't want to just be God. He doesn't want to be a dictator in your life. Until we know him as father, all we will ever have is religion. All it will ever be is rule. And though it is still good, it's not as powerful as if I realize that he's my dad and his very nature, his DNA, is the very thing that is locked inside of me because of what the Son has done. So when the Bible says, it says, do not be conformed to this world. Say this world again. Do not be conformed to this world. We look at the pattern of who Jesus was. Jesus in our day in the Gospels is 100% perfect theology. That means anything that we will ever understand, anything we will ever believe, anything that's written in the New and Old Testament, all things have to come back and align with the person, the character, the nature, Jesus Christ. If it doesn't make any sense, we go back to Jesus. Jesus did a lot of stuff that did not make sense. Yeah? Let me say it this way. Jesus was never conformed to this world. In fact, he brought his world into this one and he began to release it. Jesus came and as with the heart of revealing God himself. I love the fact, everybody close your eyes for 1 second. See if you can capture this in realness. Because I want us to get so much past the story of Jesus. We've got to learn to function and become comfortable with his reality. Jesus, literally, God in the flesh, the same God who made the sun, the moon, the stars, the same God who out of the blackness of nothing breathed and everything began to exist and rotate and function, the same God who is the originator of the invisible life that's inside of you, that same God stepped foot on the same dirt that we have 2,000 years ago. Keep that in your thought, just your eyes closed. That same God has been here. Not just in concept, not just in the fact that he made it, and not just in the invisible realm, but even in the visible realm, God in the flesh, God himself, the invisible was made visible, and he showed up and he walked among us. That's so fascinating. That is life-changing when you understand that he thought there was enough hope that he himself would even come to this planet. Yeah. See, Jesus isn't afraid of anything. Yeah? You can open your eyes. Before you go to sleep, she's like, here's the pattern of Jesus. He's the pattern of who we are to be. Amen? Amen. Jesus was never conformed to this world, but it does seem that everything he touched was conformed to his. Yeah. Everywhere he went, when he saw a lame person walking, he was never conformed to the illness. When he saw the blind walking down the street, he was never conformed to the fact that they were blind. Even when he saw the waves on the ocean, he was never conformed to the fact that he couldn't walk on them. But all things were conformed, even creation, even water itself was conformed to the nature of God. It was always conformed to his world. So here's a hunch for you. If we are called to be the body of Jesus himself, raise your hand if you're the body. You are literally the garment of God on planet Earth. You are literally the thing that outlines his presence, his nature, what he would look like. Jesus made statements that said, you will do greater works than this. He gave an apostolic commission. The whole point of commission is not that we have a new mission, but you are co-partnered with his original mission. What was his mission? To reveal and release the kingdom of God, the goodness of a father, the nature of God's love, to eliminate any idea that he's a dictator or mad at everybody. God so badly wanted to love you that he came by himself, showed up as a present called Jesus and unwrapped himself among men. Yeah? That's our pattern. So if the world was conformed to Jesus, even as the modern church, that means that the world is supposed to be conformed to who we are. Yeah? Yeah? It's a mystery. But not really. Jesus is so paradox. It is and it isn't. He's come and he's coming. The kingdom has come and it's coming. He's here, yet I want more of him. Yeah? It's never ending. It's never going to stop. This, that, and the other. Every time you step foot into a school, every time you step foot into a restaurant or a job or anywhere where all things in creation were meant to be conformed to the nature of the Son of God. That's why the Bible says that all creation is waiting for what? The manifestation of who? Who are you guys? Yes! That's awesome. I'm closing again. Flip over to John chapter 3, the gospel. I've lost my voice from last night's shenanigans, so please forgive me. They kicked me out of the band, if you couldn't tell. You know, whatever. I didn't like it anyway. I'm kidding. How many of you guys can honestly say, we'll do a little Q&A here. How many of you guys can honestly say that you've encountered the presence of God? How many guys can testify that 1 second in the presence of God can do everything that 20 years of your life could never do? Yeah? Come on. Just one glance, one glimpse of His presence. And His presence shows up in so many different ways. But the mystery is you are supposed to be the one who carries the very presence of God. The very nature of God is literally resting on your shoulder. So that means, to me, that means that the hope of nations, we understand that it's Jesus. I understand that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But really, a lot of times, we haven't really understood much about our end of the bargain enough, because we really haven't become comfortable with His world because we've been so conformed. See, when we're raised and cultured, how old are you, dude? 14 big years. How old are you, Miss Lee? No, you don't have to. That is... Matt, how old are you, man?
26.
Okay, so you're younger than Matt, I know that. 26 years, 14 years. What happens in that 26 years, especially in the state that we were in, I don't want to get too deep into this concept, but in 26 years, Matt's been cultured to think a certain way. He's been raised by a certain area family, a certain country, a certain state, a certain region, a certain dialect, certain schools, this, that, and the other, a certain atmosphere and culture just in his home life. 26 years he's been taught to think and cultured to think a certain specific way. What happens is, and this is what Jesus did, what happens is the kingdom of God shows up and it literally shocks the very mind that you have. The Bible says in the New Testament, it says that you have the mind of Christ. Yeah? That's biblical truth. Now, day after day, it does not appear that we have the mind of Christ. Amen? Yeah? Campers? I know that it does not appear that you have the mind of Christ all the time. Yeah? Road ragers, it does not appear that you have the mind of Jesus all the time. In fact, sometimes it's just bad. Let's say that. What happened was, Jesus came. And when He stepped foot into the world, when He died on the cross, He released something that we're not comfortable with yet. It's not bad, but He released a newness of life. We have been translated by the kingdom from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into a kingdom of light. The problem is we don't know what to do with that quite yet. Yeah, we're not sure how to function. It's not bad. We're on the journey. But most things, the journey takes place right here. Right between our ears. That's why the Bible says it's so imperative. He says, you know what? Even another place in the New Testament, He says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. In other words, take everything that you may think, good, bad, the ugly, and bring it back to who He was. Not just in concept. Not just in the Christian teaching, man, Jesus came, died for you, going to heaven someday, but who He was. A tangible, present experience with He Himself. I am more excited about Jesus than I am even His miracles. I'm more excited about God Himself than I am about Him just saving a nation. I'm excited about Jesus. See, I don't want God just to move for the sake of moving. I want God. Because I know that if I get God, if I can get in His presence and wear Him like a robe, He'll move all by Himself because He's responsible for His own fruit. I don't have to bear fruit for the Father. I'm just called to abide. So if I can just stay in His presence, the Father releases His goodness all around you. That's why it's so imperative. He says, you know what? Don't be conformed to this world. He's talking to believers saying, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's so imperative, it's so heavy that we are renewed in our thought pattern, that we are recultured to live in His culture. You were created, literally created in the beginning. With the thought of God was that you were to literally be created to live out of heaven's culture. Yeah, you were literally called to live out of His government, His reign, and this, that, and the other. In the fall, we kind of forgot that. Jesus comes and He shocks the entire human race. Yeah, this is the same principle. Children of Israel are in bondage. for years and years and years in slavery. All of a sudden, set my people free. They're out in the wilderness. They have no idea what to do. No idea what to do. Why? Because they have been cultured for generation upon generation to be in slavery. They had a certain mentality. All of a sudden, one day, that's gone. In the blink of an eye, just like that, they're out of there, out in the woods, have no idea what to do. Why? Because they're not quite comfortable with freedom yet. That's how the church is. Let's read this verse really quick. John chapter number 3. Everybody knows this story. Verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for who can do these signs unless God is with them?" Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Everybody say, see. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter," everybody say enter, "the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you," let me preface this by saying Nicodemus was the elite of the elite. He was the dude. If you wanted to know anything and everything about God in the day, he had every concept. He knew everything inside out, upside down about God. If you wanted to know anything about God, how to live holy, this, that, and the other, the same God, we're talking about the same God that Jesus was. You had to go to somebody like Nicodemus. He understood it. He got it. It was his deal. He was great at it. But it's such a challenge that someone with so many concepts, so much understanding about God is sitting there having a conversation with God and has no idea. Why? Because we know what to do with concepts, but we've never really understood what to do with encounter. We know how to live in a certain place, but when Jesus sets us free, I don't know what to quite do yet. And that's okay. I don't mean it condemning. It's just awesome. I think it's awesome. Do not marvel, verse 7, that I say you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is, everybody say this with me, so is everyone who was born of the Spirit. So Jesus comes in this context. He's heaven and earth. He's human and he's divine. That's why one minute he's hanging out with sinners. He's relating to people on a very normal and social level. The next minute he's healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, and he's flipping the entire world upside down. You can't tell one second he's God. The next second he's humanity. Jesus is the pattern. The Bible says, so are they who are born of the Spirit of the living God. Raise your hand if you're born of the Spirit of God this evening. Here's what the Bible just said about you. He said the wind blows where it wants to. You can't tell when it's coming, or where it's coming from, or where it's going. In other words, he's not talking about the Spirit. He's talking about everyone that's born of the Spirit. In other words, we are called to be a people who, being born of the Spirit, the sons and daughters of God, who one minute may be in the heavens, next minute may be in the earth. I may be in McDonald's getting my cheeseburger, turn around and prophesy to a lady, and she gets out of a wheelchair. I might be in fourth period class. I mean, mad at my teacher, you know, or checking out Susie across, you know, the way. Total, you know, that's, don't be conformed to this world, right? Checking out everything and anything, and the next minute, the Holy Spirit just hits. See, I love the fact that God will take people who aren't perfected. I love the fact that even Jesus called disciples who didn't qualify to be rabbis. See, they weren't good enough. They were the ones who cut class, skipped school, hanging out with Susie, smoking doobies out back, and they weren't good enough to become rabbis. Now, here's the thing. They didn't have the concepts. In other words, they weren't good enough at the concepts. That's why Jesus picked them, because he understood that they didn't have enough concepts that would block the encounter of who he was. See, let me make this statement. When you encounter Jesus, though, you will no longer be smoking doobies. Let me just say that. So, again, make it clear. You can never encounter him and be the same, because you're always conformed to him. That's why it's so imperative that we have the presence of the Lord more than we have church. I love church, man. But we need the presence of God more than we ever need church and gatherings and understanding. I need the presence, the substance of he himself, because I know that's the only thing that can change who I am. Because every time I get close, every time they spent time with this man Jesus, this mystery, I mean, there was something about his nature. They gave everything up and followed him. It's pretty psychotic in a way. He literally walks up and says, "Hey guys, follow me." They don't really understand yet that he's the Son of God. They haven't come to that place. They have no idea who he is. There's just something about his nature. He's the same God who made creation. So when he comes and talks to his own creation, they can't help but do what he says. So they start being conformed even at the very beginning to his word, and they start to follow this mystery Jesus. And Jesus is doing everything that doesn't make sense. He's calling the thing that is not as if it was. He's healing the sick right in front of their face. If it wasn't, you would think at this point they would believe, but they're in a storm. Jesus stands up and he calms the wind and the sea. You think, holy crap, like what's going on right here with this guy? If that's not enough and you really want to poop your pants, Jesus, you're in the boat. Can I say that, Miss Lisa? Okay. She's like, we have the mind of Christ. That's all I'll say. If you really, you know, want to pee your pants, Jesus comes trotting across the water like it's no big deal. Seriously? Huh? Yeah, that's true. So does it make you want to do more than pee your pants? Jesus comes walking across the very creation that he made. They're still not sure that he's God. Think about the shock factor here. They've longed for Messiah generation after generation, prophesied him to come, this, that, and the other, read the scrolls, this, that, and all the other, and all of a sudden he's here. They don't even know that it's him, even though he's walking on the very creation that he made for them to fish in. That's fascinating. They have so many concepts, but they don't know what to do with encounter. It's the same principle that he's on a road to Emmaus with two guys who should have known who he was, especially since they spent time with him, heard the sound of his voice, understood the thing that he would do, the very nature of himself. He's walking with these guys. Guys, I love this. He's walking with them 7 miles to Emmaus. Come here, Jim. Spontaneous skip. This is the team, Generation 19-4.
Where you want me?
You're just walking. Here's the fascinating. Just walk really slow because I'm getting old. Okay. So they're walking down this road 7 miles. The Bible says that Jesus draws near. Jesus. Now here's the thing. This isn't prior Jesus that they had understood before. This is resurrected Jesus. So what happens is Jesus walks near and they're conversing about the things that had happened. Everybody say concepts. They're understanding only to a certain point, but never progressed in the living word of God who was walking with them because the word became flesh. That's why the Bible says man lives by not just the written word, but the proceeding word. Can I submit to you that Jesus is the proceeding word of God? So if I want more of the word of God, it's not just found in the Bible. That's amazing. But I'm going to tell you there's more of the word of God in 1 second of his presence than I'll ever understand in any book that's been written. So here comes the word of God proceeding behind two men. Ninja Jesus. Right? And they're like, man, have you not heard? We thought it was him. We thought that it was him, this, that, and the other. We're devastated. We're blah, blah, blah. And Jesus is like, oh, really? Cool. Well, what are you talking about? This is hilarious because Jesus doesn't... It's the same voice that asked Adam, where are you at? Same voice that said, Elijah, what do you see? Ezekiel, what do you see? It's the same, like he doesn't know, first off.
Keep walking?
Yeah, keep walking. You guys look good. Jesus comes up and he starts asking them a question. Yeah. We didn't rehearse this at all. He asked them a question. God will only ever ask you a question for your perspective. God is interested in getting your mind to think like his mind. God is so interested in getting this world to start to transform and look just like his world. God wants you to think like Jesus thought. God wants you to walk up to the paralytic and not see a paralytic at all. God wants you because Jesus never saw blindness. Jesus always saw redemption because that what was created before the foundation of the world. So he's walking with these two guys. And it wasn't until they got into the house after 7 miles. You got to understand the context here. They sit down at the table. It's right there. Just hope Jesus doesn't come walking across the water because you're in a bad posture for what would happen. Okay, you're sitting at the table. This is amazing. Maybe it was dark on the 7 miles. We don't know. But they get all the way to dining with Jesus. And he breaks the bread. They're conversing with him at the table. I'm assuming there had to have been some kind of light. They should have saw him face to face, but they did not understand where he proceeded to. So he's sitting at the table, and the Bible says it wasn't until he lifted up the bread, broke it, gave thanks, that their eyes were open, they knew him, and then he disappears. Now that's kind of mean. Like, you're like, hold on a second. You guys can sit down. You got to understand the context of this, because these two dudes were broken. Everything that they had known, every bit of hope that they had ever had, was wrapped up in this one who they thought was the Messiah just days prior. All of a sudden, that Messiah gets crucified and he's dead. Dead. Lifeless, dead. Not getting back up. They have no concept, no understanding of a resurrection. They didn't understand how it would be because they already had an idea of how it should have been. Didn't come anything like they thought that it was. They are devastated. Man, guys who literally gave up everything to follow this guy, and he's dead. You talk about, they felt betrayed, man. They were absolutely, probably struggling with the worst thoughts ever known to man. Here's Jesus, and in 1 second, breaking bread, he revives all of that hope. Their eyes were open, they see this him and say, oh my gosh. And then he does the cool thing that he does, and he disappears. It's like, you know, you're dead, you're alive, you're gone, would you make up your mind kind of thing, right? Concepts will never bring us Jesus.
Nope.
Yeah? That's why he had to bring us himself, yeah? Ideas will not bring you Jesus. Let me give you some practical things. Sitting in your bed at night and asking God to come, asking God just to invade your space, will bring you Jesus. Sitting on your face in worship when no one else is around, eating the carpet for 4 hours, that will bring you Jesus. Loving on God until the point that you cannot take it anymore, that will bring you Jesus. Talking about his goodness all the time will bring you Jesus. I don't care how much we ever understand, I don't really want to understand him anymore. I want to encounter God so much more than I want to ever perceive anything else about the kingdom. Yeah. I think can I pick on you guys? What is wrong with you, child? The joy of the Lord. Stand up, you two, really quick. Actually, all you guys that are on this team. This is testimony. I mean, this is what's changed my life forever. I remember when, with the exception of Matt, you sit back down. You don't count. You're not redeemed yet. Just kidding. I remember when all of these guys came into a youth group, kind of setting much like this. Alyssa, you were probably, 16? 16 years old. She comes in a youth group, blowing snot all over my shirt, crying, had been partying. Am I safe to say that? She'd been partying, doing her thing, you know, partying the USA lifestyle. And just comes in and has an encounter with God.
Yep.
We didn't do anything. Didn't give her a good workbook. I don't even know how he got there one night. Came with a friend. By the end of the night, she's bawling in the floor. I mean, just getting set free, delivered for real. Has never been the same since, right?
Amen.
And she's really loud. So you look at the testimony of God to take somebody who literally was on a path to nowhere to put them in a posture where now they are just releasing prophetic worship or whatever it meant. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. But here's the thing. It didn't come because she became a good Christian. It actually came because she gave up on Christianity and found Jesus. She came to a place where she said, you know what? I just need God. She walked into a room, found Jesus. The same thing. Jenna did this, had the same kind of encounter. Joshua, I don't know how you even got here, dude. but I look at people like this and I see where God's touched their life, and he didn't touch it just through our ministry. God touched it through himself. They came into a room, they encountered the prayer, you guys can sit, the presence of God, and they have never been the same since. Amen. And I want to say this too concerning just the encounter of the Lord. The things that we deal with, I know that we're like free from religion. But there's still stuff to do. Can I say that?
Amen.
That's not labor. Just because I'm free from religion doesn't mean there's still not the process of God working out the salvation of my soul, bringing me into his likeness. See, real grace will never leave you the same that you ever encountered it. Real grace will always change you every single time. You think about that deliverance from the children of Israel. They get to the bank of the Red Sea, and the Bible says that they had nowhere to go. It was impossible. And Moses lifted up his rod, and the seas parted. And what happened? They were allowed to pass through. Can I borrow you guys one more time? Yes. All right, I need you over here. You right here. So, this is what happens when you make up sermons, guys. Okay, so, children of Israel, on that side. Here's victory on the other side. Everybody got the picture? They get all the way to this place. They've just been liberated. Have no idea what to do with that. They have no idea how to function, what to do in this new world, this, that, and the other. All he's saying is, you know what? Keep going, keep going, keep going. They have no idea what to do. They get to the bank, cannot do it. God has to perform a miracle. You would think after all the miracles, they would just start believing God and keep going all of the time. He takes literally a sea and he opens it up just like this and allows them to pass through. Let me paint a picture. Victory is right here. Their current location is right here. This is what real grace is. When the water was open, that passageway is the grace of God. That passageway, that is a safe passage to victory in your life. That is a safe passage. Let me say it like this. I know that Christ is in us. We are in Him. We're made in His image. We have a form of godliness. Yeah? Raise your hand. Whew. Okay. Sometimes, though, we can't leave the finished work finished up there. It needs to be finished down here. That's why we're alive, right? That's why you're on planet Earth. That's why Jesus himself came in John 17, knelt down and prayed, said, you know what, Father? All those who would believe in my word and the testimony off of their lips, I pray that you wouldn't take them out of the world. Why? Because he wanted you to be the hope of nations. God knew and understood that if you could get the tangible awakening of the presence of God and carry it into every Walmart and every street corner and every prostitute, that he could change nations and give all glory to his name. This passageway is the grace of God. And the grace of God is nothing more than a route to manifest godliness. Is that safe? I'm not condemning anybody. All right? Everybody, breathe. It's okay. This passageway was meant to take you somewhere. Yeah? The passageway wasn't meant to. Here's the thing. If you don't take the journey and just marvel at the grace and concept, you'll still be on this side. Eventually, Pharaoh is going to catch you. You're going to be in bondage to something. Yeah? See, I don't think believers, especially with the message of grace, should be in bondage. See, I still look at things. I might be old school and religious, whatever. I'm getting it from his encounter. That's all I know to do. But there's still things in my life God says, you know what, that's not part of you. I need you to be conformed to my world. Get that off of you. There's still things in my journey. I may be only halfway through the road, but I still believe God is renewing my mind every single day. Be transformed by the renewing. But the grace of God is there to give you a passageway to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It will never leave you, but you can absolutely go halfway, or you can sit on this side. Finish work high and mighty. Gosh, man, that's good. And revelate, you know? Celebrate and all everything. You could sit over here and just marvel, man, what a magnificent God. And never take the journey. And I can sit right here until Pharaoh comes. And the thing that I once was in bondage to, he delivered me from, catches me again. Yeah? I'm not putting that on you. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying it's imperative that we take what he's given us. It is imperative that we honor him by taking the journey and the provision that he's given us. You guys can sit down. So Nicodemus is in this place of encounter. He has every concept about the God that he's talking to. Has no idea that it's God. I love that. See, here's how it works. How many of you guys have ever been on a date? Well. All right. Just men. How many of you guys have ever been on a date? That's what I'm talking about. No, not you. Just men. Raise it bold. Raise it proud. Tell me if this confirms with you. I would like to do this really quick, actually, just to give honor where it's due. First time I've been able to do this here. I'd like to introduce my wife. Miss Kara Keesley. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Does she look good? That was concept 4 years ago. Then it was encounter. And it was awesome. Now, let me make this statement too. We're at youth camp. I'm gonna say this very bold, very proud. Rub it in. I'm boasting about this 100% before the Lord because I'm 30 years old, and it is only the grace of God that this could happen. But for 4.5 years, we dated, right?
Yep.
And for 4.5 years, my hands never went anywhere. They did not belong for 4.5 years.
Woo! Yep.
Hey, dude. Now she tried. She tried to get out of control, you know, but I was like, I was just too strong in the Lord. But I do give God honor, and I will encourage you that there is great reward. He knows what he's doing when he says to wait. There is great reward in friendship on that wedding night, I promise you. What was I saying? I got to get away from that wedding night. Oh, Jesus. Okay, a date. You're on a date. You're on a date. 4.5 years ago. 4.5 years ago. Now, here's what you thought. In your mind, now this is not reality for anybody else around us usually, but in your mind, you're Chuck Norris. In your mind, you are Rico Suave. In your mind, you have got it all together. You've got this entire date mapped out. You know how you're going to open the door, this, that, and you know how you're going to look, how you're going to present yourself, how it's going to go. She's going to think you're absolutely amazing. How many of you guys have ever thought that? Yeah? Oh, be for real. Raise your hand. If you didn't think that, stop dating until you do, because that's just part of manhood. Get it right. If you're going to do it, get it right. Just mess it up. That's what men do. No, we don't. Rebuke that. So, here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. Honey, can you stand right there? Here's the problem with that. Is I'm going to go pick up this hot chick, right? I got every concept of how it's going to be. I've got everything figured out. Know how it's going to go. She's going to think I'm amazing. Birds are going to fly. The mariachi band's going to play. This, that, and the other. We're going to like Dairy Queen, so none of that's realistic at all. But in my mind, I just think for 1 second, it's all going to somehow happen. Like God's going to show up and all this fantasy world exists. Now what happens is I'm confident. And I walk up and I know what I'm going to say, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, she opens the door and all I've got is hubba, hubba, hubba. That's all I've got. Everything I thought about's gone. Everything I thought of how it would be is completely gone. All I've got is a little bit of residue of some broken language. I can't even remember my own name because all I'm concentrated on is her name. This is the encounter of the Lord. See, this is what really speaking in tongues for me really is. See, no, I'm serious. See, sometimes we get so many concepts. But when I get in his presence, every concept's gone. And all I've got left was a she-ba-ba. I'm so in love with Jesus, I don't know what else to say because his encounter... The encounter of God, the encounter of God is so much more valuable and so much more romantic than any concept you had on the way. Any concept, it's never going to be the way you think it is. And I promise you, if you ever get in his presence, you'll forget about your name because you'll only be thinking about his name because he's just that good. Amen. Everybody stand really quick. Can you guys come up? I don't want to. I want the Lord to touch us tonight. And I know that He's touched us, but I want Him to touch us again. That's who He is. That's why it's relationship. Even though we have all of Him, I still want more of Him constantly. Even though I know that He's come, I know that He's coming constantly into my life. Even though the kingdom is here, every time I pray and release it, it comes even more, even more, even more. That's who we are. There's a story in the Bible that was the woman with the issue of blood, and for 12 years, I think she had this issue. She moves through a crowd of people only to find Jesus, and something in her knew that if she could even just touch the garment of Jesus, in other words, she's after He Himself, if she could just at least touch His garment, she could be healed. She fights her way all the way through this crowd. I want you to think about this, because you are Jesus right now on this planet. That's who He died for you to be. She fought her way all the way through there, touches His garment, gets healed. In your life, you may be the only garment of God that somebody touches. Think about that. The question is what's there when they touch it. See, it wasn't about what Jesus was doing or what He was saying when He was on the earth. It was who He was while He was doing and saying those things. Because people have preached the kingdom of God in the same words, used the same words as Jesus with little to no effect. Just quit it. Can I borrow yours? Check, check. When Jesus said it, this is my backup. In case this gets rowdy. When Jesus said it, everything was conformed to who He was. The Bible says, be not conformed, you, sons and daughters of God, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He understands that if your minds can get changed, if our minds can come and think the same way that he does, if we can perceive the very reality of the kingdom around us, more than the earth around us, everything will begin to be conformed. That's why creation is waiting to be conformed to who you are, the image of the Son of God. The difference, I said this today in Bible study. What's happened is Jesus has delivered us. And he's brought us into a new world. The problem is we don't know what to do in this new world yet, and that's okay. He's teaching us. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. When we're cultured, how many of you guys know what a fire is? It's a miracle, right? I mean, it's a miracle. Out of nothing, strike a match, this hot ball of light comes. Don't touch it, you'll get burned. And it's just dancing. It's all this massive fire. That's a miracle. The difference between that miracle and someone getting healed of cancer is we were cultured to believe in this miracle. We're comfortable with it. We're used to it. See, Jesus came and imparted the Holy Ghost and said, change the way that you think, because he wants you to be comfortable with all the miracles that he does. When God moves, it shouldn't shock us. When God touches the sick or raises the dead or delivers somebody from addiction, that shouldn't be a surprise to us that he simply is who he says that he is. That should be our normal culture. We should be so used to that. We should be so comfortable with that. I believe with everything in me, God is raising up a generation to become so comfortable with his realm, his reality, that there's no longer a question when you pray for somebody. There shouldn't be a question, because you, before we ever lay hands on anybody, I want to see it the way that he sees it. Before I ever touch somebody with cancer, I want to see that cancer is already eliminated. I might be crazy, but I believe in a generation where cancer will not exist. I don't believe that it can ever exist. And that's not a concept. God wants that to become a reality. I know that's hard, because I know there's people in our lives, man, they're sick, they're diseased. And the other is people with addictions and brokenness. And maybe you yourself go home at night, you love Jesus, but you go home and you're suicidal. I know tons of people. If we can be real tonight, I know there's people here that struggle. It's okay. You're not religious if you still need deliverance on something. You're not religious if you still need God to touch your life. You're not religious if you need to hit the altar and say, Jesus, I just need to change something in my life. You're not religious taking the journey. The journey was there. He died for that journey. The only way we honor the Father is to take that very same journey. But God is changing the way that we think. He's reculturing our minds to be so comfortable with his reality, his realm, that there's no longer an unanswered prayer. Yeah, it's a bold statement, but I believe him, because that's just what he said. Amen. Everybody close your eyes one second. It's okay. I want you to just to take a couple minutes. Get outside of camp. Get outside of this moment. Get outside of this room. Even get outside of my voice and any message that I've even preached tonight, because I don't want you to have a concept. And just take 5 minutes as we worship. And make your world completely alone with him right now. He's answering that door right now. We've had every concept of what Jesus would do. Even in finished work camps, man, we have so much revelation. I don't mean this condescending, don't take this heavy. We have so much revelation, but not always a whole lot of product. See, there's always going to be fruit, man. There's always got to be fruit, because I'm co-missioned with his mission, and his mission looked like something. His mission was releasing the oppressed and healing the ache of humanity everywhere that he went. That was his mission. So if I'm co-mission with him, that means the very God that I say or sing about or talk about or this, that, and the other, at some moment in my life, Jacob came. There's some moment in my life that every concept I've ever had has to be.